Okay, well, I'm going to talk today about something we've been working on for quite a while here, satellite-based irrigation scheduling. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Nithya Rajan and also Dr. Shyam Nair at Texas Tech, and Nithya is at AgriLife. Like George was saying, the Ogallala Aquifer is really important in our region over there. It supplies 98% of the water for irrigation in our region. Unfortunately, talking with producers tends to indicate that less than 10% of the producers in this region over here, particularly the southern part, use any type of objective irrigation scheduling. So there's a good potential for over-irrigation in this region as a result of that. When people do use some type of irrigation scheduling, the most common approach that they're using is a crop coefficient approach. If you look at the standard FAO 56, which is the most common one that is employed by people in the region, you know that the use of that is designed to estimate crop ET under what are called standard conditions, which represents upper envelope of crop ET with no limitations placed on various factors. So essentially, it's optimum growth. So the standard crop coefficient approach can tell you how much water you'd be using if the crop was growing under standard or essentially non-limited conditions. But that's sort of an upper limit. It really can't tell you how much water is being used by the crop in any particular field. It's sort of a standard kind of field. And if you look on the left there, the picture on the left, there's a cotton field growing in our area, and that looks like it's probably growing under standard non-limited conditions. The picture on the right, though, is another field at the same time, and you can see its growth is a lot less. So, to me, I don't see how you can apply a single crop coefficient to both those situations, because they're quite different. So the objective of our research has been to develop a technique that we can use to estimate the water use and schedule irrigations for individual fields. So the irrigation recommendation that is made is specific to those fields, particularly when you've got non-standard growing conditions. To do this, we employ a different type of crop coefficient approach. It's something we've developed over the past few years, what we call the spectral crop coefficient approach. And the spectral crop coefficient approach, you calculate the daily crop water use by multiplying a crop coefficient we call the spectral crop coefficient times the PET of a full canopy crop at that time. One of the unique things about this approach, it looks very similar to the standard crop coefficient approach, but in this approach here, in the spectral crop coefficient approach, the crop coefficient is numerically equal to crop ground cover. So it's the same as ground cover if you measured that. And that's an important characteristic, because crop ground cover is a physical quantity of the crop, and you can go out and measure. You can go out in the field and measure it with different techniques. But one of the other great things about it is that crop ground cover can be easily measured from satellite observations. And here's a portion of a Landsat scene here of our area. You can see all the different fields. Dr. Rajan and I published a paper in Agronomy Journal a couple of years ago outlining a technique to estimate crop ground cover from Landsat observations. So potentially, you can estimate the crop ground cover for any field in an image, any field in the region. It's very, very easy to do that. Dr. Rajan and I have done quite a bit of testing of this technique. Here's a result of validation of this technique for estimating crop ground cover from satellite observations. This is for 2 years here, involving four crops, cotton, corn, sorghum, and alfalfa. You can see on the y-axis the value of ground cover that we estimate from the satellite image, and then at the same time we would go out in the field and actually make measurements of crop ground cover. That's shown on the x-axis, and you can see, allowing for measurement error, there's a very good relationship between the two. In fact, if you look at the averages for the 2 years, they're essentially identical. So we've got a lot of confidence in our ability to estimate crop ground cover from satellite observations. What we've been able to do is analyze data from the past 6 years, Landsat data, to develop these base spectral crop coefficient curves for each of the major crops in our region. You can see one here for irrigated corn. We've got one for subsurface drip. For some of the crops like cotton, we've got separate curves for each irrigation type also, because they tend to be a bit different. And you notice the x-axis on those curves is actually in terms of growing degree days. So when we apply it to different years that are maybe warmer or cooler, it sort of automatically adjusts the scaling of the crop coefficients. Weather data for calculating the full canopy PET in our region comes from the West Texas Mesonet. There's about 63 stations across our area now that provide all the measurements for calculating, using the Penman-Monteith equation, PET for a full canopy for a given crop. We've been really interested in testing the validity of estimating crop water use using the spectral crop coefficient approach. We've done a number of studies. Here's the results of a recent one here where we estimated the daily crop water use in millimeters per day for a subsurface drip cotton field in our region. You can see the green dots are the values of daily crop water use estimated using our spectral crop coefficient approach. The blue dots are the actual values of crop water use measured using eddy covariance, and it's been corrected as according to the first talk we had today. You can see there's very good agreement between the two. The two little dash lines, the green and blue dash lines, are the regressions for the two types of data, and you can see that they're essentially equal. So we have a lot of confidence in our ability to estimate crop water use using this spectral crop coefficient approach. So the components of this irrigation scheduling tool that we're putting together that we call the TAWC Next Generation Tool, the daily crop water use is estimated from the spectral crop coefficient approach. Daily soil water evaporation is estimated using a two-phase soil evaporation model, the one originally described by Joe Ritchie back in the 70s. In our approach, we separately calculate the crop water use, essentially the transpiration and the soil evaporation. So we use a soil water balance. We use a daily soil water balance with a two-layer soil profile to keep track of the moisture in the crop zone, the rooting zone. One of the things is that we have user-specified stress target levels. The user can essentially say what level of stress that they're willing to tolerate for their crop. Do they want it to be fully irrigated? Do they want maybe a 30% stress level, 50%, whatever they would like to tolerate? By specifying a target stress level and also specifying typically what the maximum amount of irrigation they would apply at any given time, the tool will make objective irrigation recommendations with 5-day lead times. So in 5 days in advance, it will warn the producer that they're starting to run out of water, and it will make a recommendation as to how much they should irrigate to compensate for that. And of course, the within-season updating of the spectral crop coefficient is achieved using satellite data, or it's possible also for the producer to collect data in his own field to update it. Testing, currently in the process of testing this irrigation tool. Normally what you would do is you would go out and test it against irrigation plot studies. Well, it's the end of the season now, so we can't do that. So what we're doing is we're actually testing it against crop growth simulation models and using the crop growth simulation model as kind of a virtual test field, and we will run the crop growth simulation model and then run the irrigation scheduling tool in parallel, and then when the tool says to make an irrigation, we will put that into the simulation model and let it run forward until the next time it recommends we make a irrigation and go through the season that way. Also, we'll pull at certain times during the year, from the crop growth simulation model, we'll pull the value of ground cover, and we'll use that to update the spectral crop coefficient in the irrigation scheduling tool. Here's some results here. I've run this a whole bunch of times, but here's a couple of example results. On the top there, you've got a run for a cotton field. The model we're using for cotton is Cotton 2K. You can see the upper one there shows the rainfall during 2009. And also, based on the specifications, the tool recommended making six irrigations, so that we applied a total of 340 millimeters. That was a zero stress specification, in other words, fully irrigated. The lower panel shows what the tool would recommend if you wanted to have a 50% stress level. And again, you can see that if you're willing to accept more stress, then you won't irrigate as much and you won't irrigate as often. And that shows what happens in the bottom one. There you only apply five irrigations with 280 millimeters. Here's the change in soil water that occurs while this thing is running here. I guess I can use this. There, okay. Here is the target stress level for the zero stress value here. And essentially you can see the black line. These are the soil water values, and you can see they track along. And when they come near this, the tool recommends making an irrigation. So then it goes back up. Here's the 50% stress. You can see that the soil water is allowed to get lower and result in more stress. Here is the ground cover for those simulations there. You can see here's the base spectral crop coefficient here. Here is the zero stress one here, and you can see these circles here is when the crop coefficient was updated. So you can see that it produced a new value over here. Of course, for zero stress, you're going to have a full canopy, and it's going to be really huge. Here's the 50% stress one over here. Here's another year. Here's 2010. It was a wetter year earlier, but we ended up, for zero stress, we made seven irrigations of 420 millimeters. For 50% stress, we made six irrigations of 360 millimeters. Again, here's what happened with the soil water. We filled the profile early. Then over here, the black lines, you can see how it's sort of dancing above the stress line. And same thing for the 50% stress level. Again, here are the uncorrected spectral crop coefficient, and then here is the one that's adjusted based on the actual output of the model. So, conclusions. This next generation irrigation scheduling tool, we feel, represents an improvement over standard procedures because it allows you to estimate the crop water use and make your recommendations specific to individual fields within the region. Also, by establishing target stress levels, the user can essentially set up whatever type of deficit irrigation they would like to do for their crop based on how much water they've got and how much they want to use. And also, the irrigation recommendations are generated with five-day lead times, which gives the producers time to schedule irrigations. And we're hoping to implement this tool this next year as part of the Texas Alliance for Water Conservation project. This is the website here that has our current version of the tool, and we will replace it in the spring with the next generation. Okay, I'd like to thank the people who funded this project, Texas Alliance for Water Conservation and Texas Water Development Board. Thank you. Yes, sir.
You mentioned about you use the crop model as a virtual testing tool.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about can we, use the crop model as a tool to schedule the irrigation?
Well, we're not using the model. We're actually, in this case, using the model as a virtual crop to test the irrigation scheduling tool. That's because we don't have a cotton crop growing right now. And of course, the other thing that the model allows you to do is to look at lots of different possibilities of rainfall and irrigation and things like that, kind of things that you can't do in a normal field study. This cotton 2K model, we selected that for cotton because one of the co-authors, Dr. Nair, has done extensive studies and shown that it seems to do a good job for simulating cotton growth and yields in this Texas High Plains region. So that's how we use it. Yeah.
Yes, because the crop model, you know, does a good job. So it also has some kind of a stress index in the model.
Right.
So if we use the stress index in the model as the, you know, our tools to manage our application.
The problem with that would be is that to run the Cotton 2K model, you need a huge data set. You need individual data on soil characteristics, soil hydraulic characteristics, all sorts of information that you would normally not be, that a producer wouldn't necessarily know for his field, and would be very difficult to collect for, you know, an entire area. So, whereas theoretically you could use a crop growth simulation model to schedule irrigations, on a practical sense, it's much too complicated to do that. And so that's why we rely on a simpler kind of tool such as the crop coefficient approach.
We don't have time for our questions.
Thank you.